You cannot have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. You can't have the peace of God without the peace of God. And the only way to have peace with God is to be justified by faith that you truly are Son of God. You truly are Son of God.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
Appreciate you so much. Thanks for being here this morning. Nick and worship team, thank you. Pax and Carrie in Oklahoma. So pray for them. It is good to see each of you this morning. Good morning to each of you. So we are in a series called Experiencing God. If you've been with us for any amount of time, several weeks ago, jumped into that. We're looking at seven realities of experiencing God. And behind me, yes, there is the picture. I've told you this is kind of the flow that we're going to use, okay? So last week, we were on number one, God's at work. We established that God is always working around us, okay? I don't think anybody would deny the fact that that is true. God is always working around us, okay? Today, we're gonna look at relationship. And here's what you have to understand. If God is always working around us, which he is, before we could ever worry about everything that God is doing around us, understand his greatest work is what he's doing in us. I'm gonna say that again. Before we can get caught up in everything he's doing around us, some of his greatest work is what he does in us. I know a lot of people, this is very confusing because you hear people make this statement, I've got to find God. Okay, I know what you mean, but you have to understand something. God's not missing. You are. From Genesis, he's been after a hunt for you. And he's not gonna stop, okay? He said in Genesis 3:9, where are you? And he is still saying that today. Where are you? A lot of times when we try to find God, we do things. We run the church. Nothing wrong with running the church, because you would assume, based on the fact that it's called a church, that if you went there, you'd find God. I spent a lot of time with a whole bunch of people that went to church and got messed up. I mean, like a ball of wine, ball of yarn and a cat just destroying the sucker. I mean, I'm trying to unwind that dude, and that dude is, I'm like, woo, what happened to you? I went to church. I was like, dude, you need a different church, all right? He just messed him up. And so, unfortunately, you can see some things in church that are not God. And it can stunt you and mess you up. Or maybe you say, well, I'm gonna find God. I run the church. Well, maybe I'm gonna find God. I'll jump into the word. And you're like, are you serious? You're saying jumping into the word of God is bad? No, I'm not saying that. Jumping into the Bible is very good, okay? But sometimes what happens to us is this. If you jump into the word of God before you really technically know God, you may not understand what you're reading. And so all you may be doing is accumulating layers and layers of knowledge without relationship. I want you to see this in scripture. Jesus discusses this matter, okay? In John chapter 5, I want you to stay with me. I don't want you to go, that pastor just said I shouldn't read the Bible. That is not what I'm saying. I would never say that. Look at John chapter 5. I want you to see what Jesus is saying here. John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. Verse 39 says this, you diligently study the scripture because you think that by them, they will possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you, refuse to come to me to have life. Oh, my goodness. These are the scriptures that testify about me, Jesus said. Remember, the Bible's not about you and me. It's about him. It's about God. These are the scriptures that testify about me, but you refuse to come to me for life. There is no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. You listen to me. You can know the book and still not know the author. I'm telling you, I have sat with some men across the table from me that know the Bible a whole lot better than I know the Bible. But I'm gonna tell you that those same men did not have a relationship with the author. Hence, all their knowledge of scripture did them no good because no one wanted to be around them because they were so mean, calloused, prideful, and angry. The Bible is a love letter to the king. It's not a whooping stick for those who are smart. Be very careful with knowledge of the Bible without the application and the love of Jesus. If anybody ever attempts to beat you up with the Bible, you run like a naked kid at a picnic because they ain't from Jesus, okay? You just get. Never intended to beat you up with this. Never. And I know that's the beginning of a message and it's real strong, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus is pretty passionate about religion and what religion can do to people. And knowledge of the scripture without the relationship with Jesus Christ can make someone puffed up. And they're gonna get unpuffed one day and it ain't gonna be pretty. You can know the book without knowing the author. So here's an early question. Maybe you're here this morning and you know the book. I would like to pose a question to you. Do you know him? Do you know the author of that book? Do you? See, real Christianity is not merely a religion. It's a relationship with a person. God created humanity for a love relationship with him. That's all he's trying to do with the Bible, is to draw you into a love relationship with him. Not a knowledge that trumps him and makes you your own God. It begins with one word called salvation. It is love. That's what it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is probably one of the most powerful passages you're gonna see. That while we were still a mess, jacked up, living in our sin, when we were still a mess, he still died for us. He demonstrated his love while we were a mess. He didn't wait for us to clean up, find him, okay? He said, I love you just like that. He's the one who pursues the love relationship with us. Everything we're experiencing from God comes in response to his invitation. There are those in the room this morning, you have been set up by God. God has been working in your life from day one to this moment right now, drawing you, wooing you, moving you, kind of manipulating things, kind of directing you right to this point. Why? Because he is screaming at you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I want you to enter into a relationship with me. That's what he's been after from the very get-go. That, my friends, is why he went after Adam and Eve after they ate the apple. They ate it and they were in sin. They hid themselves, and God, who loved them beyond their sin, went looking for them. They didn't go find God. God found them. And then he said, where are you? This morning, God knows right where you're at, right where you're sitting. He had that chair picked out before you ever walked in the door. You're sitting exactly where God wants you. He knows where you're at. Now he's asking this question, where are you? Will you say, God, I'm right here, right here, right here. John 6:44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. That's the wooing of your heart. That's the knock on your heart's door. I've said to you many times, your heart, given to you by God, has a doorknob on the inside, but not on the outside. Doors at my house have knobs on each side, right? Unless I'm bad and I go outside and Melissa takes the one off inside. I can't get back in. Sometimes that probably should happen, right? But your heart has a doorknob on the inside. No one comes in unless you open your heart. Same thing with Jesus. He'll knock, but you gotta open. He could come through it anyway because he's God. But he's a gentleman at the door. He'll walk away, but he'll knock again, and he'll knock again. But here's the deal. Nobody but God knows how many times he's gonna knock. Don't let it be your last time and you not know it. John 6:65 says this. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He said it again in John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Not through church, not through Bible knowledge, but through Jesus. Through Jesus. We all begin the same way. Every one of us. All of us begin the same way. Romans 3:23 says this, for all, how many? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Your sin and my sin equal. My sin and the prostitute equal. My sin, the murderer equal. My sin just like theirs. The most evil person on the face of the earth is sin just like my sin. And my sin and their sin put Jesus on the cross. They're in rankings of sin. They're sin. Sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. We're all coming to Jesus the same way. As a 10-year-old little boy in Athens, Texas, at First Baptist Church, when I stepped out of the aisle and walked to the front of the church and shook my pastor's hand, took his hand, and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. My little sin at 10, just as sin as somebody at 60, just the same sin as a sin as 42. All sin the same. Many years after that, at the age of 48, my dad, in a jail cell, got on a concrete floor, knelt down and put his head on a concrete bed and bowed his head and prayed and received Jesus Christ as a deacon at the church that I gave my life to when I was 10. Got saved in jail. My sin at 10, same as my dad's sin at 48. And God washed it all away by the blood. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. You know what my sin deserved? Death. That's what I deserved. But Jesus said, I'm about to make an exchange. And for my sin, Okay? His death canceled that and gave me life. And he did it for you too. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if we confess with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. That's why you can't pray for somebody else. I know. You might have grown up and there's some religious stuff out there that says that we can pray for the lost people and all that. Mm-mm. No. That if you confess with your mouth, while it's still a mouth and moving, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. They go hand in hand. And then a beautiful passage, Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is God in reality number one? Is it true? Is God always at work around us? You bet it is. God is always at work around us. But what is God doing? Reality number two, he is working around us to drive us to a relationship with him. Everybody, that's what he's doing. That's why he's working around us. He's setting things up and moving you and putting you in places and shutting this door and opening this door and shutting this window and opening that window. He's connecting you with these people. He's bringing you to this town. He's connecting you to the church. He's connecting you to his friendship. Everything is to point you and get you to where? To him. Yes, he's working around us, but his greatest work is what he's doing in us. And what he's doing is he's calling each one of us at some time in our life into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's after. And then, my friends, after that happens, then all that work that he is continuing to do around us, we have the spiritual eyes because of the new birth in Christ Jesus and the spirit living inside us, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now we can see with spiritual eyes all that God is doing around us. And we can jump in. We can jump in. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to flip over a page to the left if you're still in John. John chapter 3, gentlemen that we know well as Nicodemus. Nicodemus is what we know today as like a senator. Nicodemus was a very smart, intelligent, bright man. He had a knowledge without a relationship. He was very smart. He knew there was something about Jesus. And so Nicodemus, so he would not be noticed by his little posse, his little friends, he thought, I need to go talk to Jesus. There's something about him that pricks me, that excites me. And so we know that Nicodemus did not go during the day, he went at night, hence Nick at night. And this is where we get Nick at night. Y'all don't know that. It's a biblical term. I'm telling you. See the stuff you get at church? I'm telling you, people underestimate what you get at church. Now you know. You're walking out of here richer, all right? So this is Nick at night. He comes in the middle of the night to talk to Jesus. They're having a conversation. Nicodemus is really good at conversations because he's a very smart person. Jesus loves conversation. Why? Because Jesus is about relationship, big time. So I want you to look in John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Look at verses 5 through 7. This is a conversation they're having. Nicodemus asked his question about being so big but needed to be born a second time. He wasn't registering. If you're a parent, you understand that. Looking right at your kid, that's a really good question. You're like, we're not on the same page. They're not on the same page here. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. That's an interesting statement, like he can tell anything other than the truth. I mean, his name is truth. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. Verse 7, you should not be surprised by my saying. You must be born again. Nicodemus, you can't be surprised by my saying. What I'm saying to you, don't be surprised by that. You must be born again. You're born once of water, physical birth. You must be born again in spiritual birth. If you have two birthdays, congratulations. If you only have one birthday, you need to take care of the second birthday. You will not enter the kingdom of God unless you have two birthdays. One physical birthday when you're born, a second spiritual birthday when you're born again. Don't be fooled by that. He is talking to a guy who is extremely intelligent. And you know why he's talking to him. And he says to him, don't be fooled. Why? Because you can know the book, but not know the author. And don't be fooled by this. This book knowledge will not get you into heaven gold streets. It will only get you knowledge puffed up here on this dirt ball. It will not give you an eternal home in heaven. You must be born again. You must be born of physical birth. You must be born in spirit. You might say, well, Pastor, that's all neat, very well said, but I know all that. I already know all that. I know that scripture is true. But I ask you, do you really know? Romans 8:16 says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Does God's Spirit living inside of you will testify that you are God's kid? It will. Right now, it's wanting a testify. It's wanting a testimony from you. Go back in your mind when you gave your life to Christ. Is there a moment in your life where you truly did give your life to Christ? Pray and receive Christ. The Spirit of God, okay, will agree to your testimony. Your testimony is this. The Spirit will say yes to that. The Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. John 10:14, Jesus said it this way. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I know my sheep. I know them. And my sheep know me. You say, well, I know Jesus. I know him. What would Jesus' answer be? I know you too, son. I know you too, daughter. Do you know Jesus? And does Jesus know you? You might say, I know all that, I believe all that. I know all that, but I believe all that. Listen to me. Knowing all that and believing all that is good, but knowing all that and believing all that is not enough. The Bible says that even the demons know and believe, and you don't want to be where they are. Here's a question, not do you know it, not do you believe it, but have you ever, ever put your trust in that? Have you ever put your trust in that? Romans 5:1, powerful passage. If you have your Bible, go there with me. Romans 5:1, this is the exact verse that changed my wife's life at 26, almost 27 years old. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, and I've taught you from day one, when you see therefore in the Bible, you always want to ask, what's that therefore? Therefore. Okay? I always want to ask that. Therefore, what's that therefore? Therefore. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we have been justified by faith. How are we justified? We're justified by Jesus going to the cross. He takes our place at the cross. Jesus justifies. That's the justification, is the cross. Okay? How do you do that? By faith. There must be a time in our life that we don't just know and we just don't believe, but we step in trust. You must move if you believe. There must be an action. Faith is an action. Moses didn't get to the Red Sea and God part the waters. He said, when those waters go up and the land is dry, the sea becomes dry where the water was, I need you to walk across. You walk across. Faith got him across. When the bush caught on fire and was burning from within, but was not being destroyed, and Moses saw that and he approached the bush, and the bush, through an angel, spoke out. Moses. What did Moses say? Here am I. What's that therefore? Therefore, it's for you to check and make sure that you by faith have been justified and that you have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, therefore, since you have been justified by faith, do you have peace in your life? That answer right there is the truth. Do you have peace in your life? When I found my wife that morning, when she got saved, she had gotten up before me, which either I got left at the rapture or something serious going on, all right? Kind of makes your heart messes with you for a little bit. You know, you're like, oh, Lord help, I got left. Right? I went looking for her. My wife had the Bible open, had the gospel track, and she had put it all over there. She knew all that scripture, knew it since birth. But she had no peace. And she just looked at me and she said, I know what it is. Because when she read, therefore, what's that therefore, therefore? That therefore is therefore so you would know that you have truly been justified by faith. And if you therefore have been, then you therefore have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. You can't have the peace of God without the peace of God. And the only way to have peace with God is to be justified by faith that you truly are Son of God. Truly are Son of God. So here's the question. Do you want the peace of God this morning? Do you want that? Do you need that in your life? He's making that so available to you today. See, he is always at work around us. He is. But some of his greatest work is working in us. If we're ever going to experience God, we gotta know God. We gotta know him. We must know him. Romans 10:13 again. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. You may have been trying to find God and it led you to this moment right here. You might have been trying churches and you walked in here really not wanting to like it, but found yourself liking this house. But all of it's led to this moment right here. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. I didn't think I was going to be here today. Or I have never, ever been here before. Wherever you find yourself on this spectrum, it was not by accident. It's all by purpose God. He is always at work around you. And some of his greatest work is the work that he does in you. And he's brought you to this moment. You know that you don't have a relationship with the Lord. You know that. And you know you have no peace in your life unless you can manufacture it. But peace isn't peace on a good day. The peace of God is really the peace of God when everything's falling apart and you know he has you. That's his peace. So I want everyone in the room to bow your heads. Everyone. Not one person peeking. Don't look down at your spouse or your child. I'm gonna ask the guys to pop up a passage of scripture, a prayer on the screen. Hopefully you can see that. This prayer on the screen is called a sinner's prayer, prayer of salvation. With everybody's head bowed in the house, not one person looking. If you want to be born again today, if you want to pray and receive Christ as your Savior, if for the first time in your life, you want to meet Jesus and let him resurrect you to a new life, I want you to look up at me. Just look at me. If you're looking at me, okay, it tells me that you want to pray this prayer and receive Christ. Okay? If you already know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, keep your head bowed, eyes closed. You pray for those in the room that need to look up. This is an opportunity that you will never get back. Not promised another one. I want you to look at me. We're gonna pray together, if you're looking at me. We're gonna pray together this prayer. I'm gonna pray it with you, okay? No one looking, just if you look up if you wanna pray the prayer, all right? Let's pray it together. If you're looking at me, pray the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I ask you for forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my running my own life and now I ask you to run it. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. Everyone look at me. I'm gonna invite you to stand, the whole church. As we move into a time of invitation, if you prayed that prayer, you just prayed the prayer, as we worship, I want you to come forward. Bible's very clear. You're acknowledging me before man. Jesus said, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to begin to come now, okay? You come now. If you prayed the prayer, okay? My pastors will be down here. They'll take you to the conference room so we can talk to you, okay? All right? If you go to the conference room with my pastors and you have family in here, family, don't worry. We're gonna bring them back in here, okay? We're gonna bring them back in here, all right? They're not gonna leave without you, okay? Anybody else who opened their eyes and prayed that prayer this morning, you come. As we worship, if you still need prayer, ministry teams will be in the back, altar wide open. And if you know that should have been you and you still wanna give your life to Christ this morning, you come, we'll be here for you, okay? Let me pray for us, all right? Let me pray for you, all right? Before I pray, no one else is here but them. Did you come this morning? Did you pray this morning? You're just coming with her or did you pray? Both of y'all. Y'all married? That's gorgeous. Come on, church. That's awesome. He loves you and we love you. We're proud of y'all. All right, let's pray, and then they're gonna go out. Ministry time. If you need prayer in the back, altar wide open. If you need to give your life to Christ, you do that. Father, we love you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for saving this sweet young couple down here. For the first time in their life, God, they prayed a prayer, changed their life forever. Their marriage will never be the same. They will never be the same. Their family will never be the same. And God, what you want to do in their lives, woo, we can never think or imagine what you want to write and what you've already written for their lives. And so, God, I pray your blessings on them. I pray for anybody at the sound of my voice that still needs to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, they would come. They would take advantage of a moment like this and pray and receive Jesus. God, we love you and we thank you. As we worship now, you move our hearts. In Christ's name, amen, amen. Let's worship.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word PRAY to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.